to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatornio. Well, last episode, BC, our Vatican abdicator and former Vatican assassin, tried to get the new Catholic Church and the Universal Islamic Nation to unite and produce a book, a joint holy book, we humans could present to aliens as an idea of our religions, or something like that. Though the prospects for bringing Christianity and Islam together seem pretty slim, at the end of the last chapter, Anita hooked up with BC as they headed back to his place, holding hands. Oh, and the interstellar war continues. There's a time jump here between chapters, this one and the last one, 2 months. A little reference to spending the holidays with Anita might be why she, much later in life, would decide she wanted to celebrate Christmas. Well, this is kind of a short and a little bit choppy chapter. I was reading through it now and looking back on it. I don't know, there's too much telling at spots and stuff could have been expanded, but it also speeds up the book in a way. And we get the Domo and the Flay show up again too. Alien visitors. So that's coming up as we get into chapter 13 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of book news first. The pages keep coming in from Casey Bouchard and Christian Navarro for Alibi Jones' Christmas present. I've been sending Christian's on to Juan Carlos Quatornio for coloring, so I haven't seen those in color yet. But Casey is doing his own color, and he's got 1 through 3, just about done. I'll be getting pages 2 and 3 for lettering a little bit later today. Page 1 is lettered. And my novel, Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth, is rolling along, the writing continuing pretty smoothly. Word count at this point in the first draft is just under 60K, 59.5, basically. And I can tell you a little bit more about the graphic novel I've been writing. It is a hired gig, a paid gig, work for hire, for Green Mountain Support Services, and now they're hiring artists to draw the script that I wrote for them. I'm still waiting on one interview. I'm going to interview a national figure for the introduction for the book, so still have that to do, but then I get paid for it, which is awesome, and they gave me an advance, which was great too, because they are good people. The graphic novel tells the stories of their direct support professionals. They're called DSPs that work for Green Mountain Support Services. And I'm telling their story in their own words as much as possible based on interviews I had with all of them. So as I said, one more interview to do for the introduction, and just about done. Still trying to get a new audiobook. I'm in between jobs right now, so almost got a couple, but still in a dry spell. So if you need voice work, get in touch. glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com or go to glowinthedarkradio.com/voice-work. Or glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the voice work thing. That's about all I've got for book news. We've got chapter 13, Lucky 13, on the way next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's chapter 13, A Vatican Abdicator, on Glow in the Dark Radio.
The comm alarm goes off and wakes BC up from a sound sleep. He wakes up alone. Anita left yesterday. She headed out to the asteroids, back to oversee the project operations out there.
Glad she was able to spend the time here that she did. She can only do so much from the moon. Still, the weeks just flew right by.
The original Project Asteroid base was trashed pretty badly by Dolomei in his raid 2 months ago, but the shipyard and the base on Ceres are up and running. Anita had to get back out there to keep the operation humming along. He misses her sleeping beside him. BC and Anita spent most of their off hours together during the last 2 months, as the project regrouped on the moon. It was nice to have Anita around for the holidays. She and BC managed to both work and play together without it getting awkward. It's been a good couple of months. Now the project scientists have headed back out to the asteroids, this time to Ceres. They went public with Ceres Station, now officially known as the new base of the project. BC smiles as he gets ready to face the day, thinking about Anita as he gets refreshed and dressed.
So far, so good. We keep it all business all day, let ourselves go after hours. We have fun. Sometimes I'm surprised at her stamina. Man, it's like she's still trying to kill me by wearing me out. It's probably just this initial rush, the first blush, whatever you call it. Just don't call it love around Anita. I think she planned for the project to leave just before Valentine's Day on purpose. She doesn't like the word, but I do think I love that woman. Love and imagination are best weapons against Dolomei and the Eldred.
Dolomei has disappeared for the time being. He took a beating, losing all but one ship. BC and his allies assume he's gone to ground, found a base to hide in to lick his wounds and regroup. He's been quiet. He hasn't returned to the Project Asteroid base. There's no telling where he is. The Domo and the Flays have not been complaining, so he hasn't been hitting their bases. The Eldred have kept their presence known, but haven't attacked again. They have scout ships which appear near Mars every day, but don't engage other ships. The Eldred are also keeping a menacing fleet presence near the project base at Cat's Eye. Several project ships have had Eldred escorts as they traveled to the outer bases, Crankshaft, Rigel IV, and Dimwit included.
We never agreed to remain inside the orbit of Jupiter, did we? Even the UTZ Council was smarter than that. Ah, the UTZ Council.
The UTZ Council hasn't been meeting. BC's War Council has met more often. The War Council meets in person. No one attends over the comm, for risk of eavesdropping. Wentworth finally joined. The Caliph comes when he can, as does Mbeke. Governor Erskine attends often. The project crew did, until they all left yesterday.
Maybe we need a new meeting place. There's the comm again.
The comm alarm is going off.
Yeah, BC answers. Kempion, Erskine here. We've got company.
Oh shit, here we go.
The Eldred? Are they attacking? Here? No. Oh no, not the Eldred. Don't worry, it's not an attack.
She tries to calm him down when she realizes she's alarmed him. BC's heart slows down after racing and skipping a beat.
Who then? What company?
The Domo and the Flays have both sent representatives here to the moon. They're asking to set up missions here to open trade with us and to offer their aid. Or so they say.
Interesting. Surprising. Wonder what brings this on. Seems too brave for them. Only one explanation. They gotta be spies.
I see. And they're asking to see you, Kempion. Okay, I'll be right. Where are you?
We can meet in my offices, she says. We'll need security. The alien, the Domo and the Flays, were very public in their appearance here.
Really? Well, BC pauses, thinking. Maybe this is a good sign.
Maybe, Erskine agrees. We'll see.
Maybe we can use them to our advantage.
You know, so long as they don't do anything threatening, they could be a sign of hope for people, BC suggests.
How so? Erskine asks.
Well, it reinforces the idea that there are aliens out there that aren't trying to kill us. Aliens that want to set up embassies and be our allies, BC says. Makes it seem that somehow the entire universe isn't entirely against us, out to get us. After that press conference a couple months back, people know they exist, but if they're here every day, it makes it all more real. Makes what I said ring true.
I see. So, see you here soon, Erskine asks.
Yeah, I'm actually supposed to be heading out from Mars right away, but I'll be there.
The Domo and the Flay's representatives are waiting in Erskine's office when BC arrives. The Flays have greatly improved their translation units and speak in simple but complete sentences.
Hello, Bernard Kempion,
the Flays representative's translation unit says nearly simultaneously with its hissing and whispering in its own tongue. Hello, Flays representative, Domo representative.
Hello, Bernard Kempion, the Domo says.
I must say it is a surprise to see you here on Lunar Prime, BC tells the two aliens. When I last spoke with representatives of your races, they seemed certain we were doomed to be wiped out by the Eldred. It seems unusual to set up trade agreements with a doomed race, BC observes.
You humans do not all share the same ideas, the Domo representative counters. The same is true for our races. Among the Domo, and yes, even among the Flays, there are those of us who believe otherwise and are willing to take the risk.
We do not see it as a risk, and we are requesting separate facilities,
the Flays says.
The Eldred will know we are a Flays outpost. They will spare our mission if they attack.
The alien pauses, turns to address Governor Erskine.
Forgive me if I assume too much too soon. This would be what we would request for our Flays mission here.
I see, Erskine responds. That makes sense. I can understand that. And will the Domo want to build their own separate mission as well? She asks the other alien. The Domo pauses, considering its response. Why, yes, we would. We Domo sometimes make all the races uncomfortable.
That's a big admission. I can feel the drain just being in the same room. Good idea keeping the Domo apart. Have to tell Erskine to watch for any strange disappearances and deaths.
The aliens and Erskine work out the basics of their requests. BC helps iron out a couple of small details, but he's really not a necessary participant once the initial hurdles are jumped. The Domo still makes everyone else uneasy and vaguely tired and drained, but the aliens' requests are reasonable and strikingly similar to the requests the Vatican once made prior to setting up the Vatican mission at Lunar Prime. Erskine agrees to let the aliens set up missions, autonomous zones they will construct themselves, in a secure section of Lunar Prime currently devoid of development. The government of Lunar Prime agrees to maintain an airlock and security on the Lunar Prime side of the lock. BC leaves the meeting in Governor Erskine's hands, and leaves one meeting for another. This one requires some traveling. BC hops a Stinger ship for the trip. He's due on Mars for the official signing ceremony with the Caliph, as Planet Mars agrees to official UTZ jurisdiction, while the UIN still remains an independent religious organization. BC also wants to ask him how the book is coming along. It took a lot longer than BC would have liked to iron out all the details of the Mars agreement. The Caliph, while agreeable, nevertheless proved to be quite stubborn when it came down to the fine details. But they're done now, and he's ready to sign, so BC is off to Mars. His visit is treated with pomp and ceremony. The Caliph has arranged an elaborate welcoming for BC. He gives BC his official greeting, but is soon at a distance as musicians perform and dervishes whirl.
I'd like to pull the Caliph aside and ask him about the book. Both he and Mbeki have been dodging my questions on it lately. This is a nicer welcome than the sight of those Eldred scout ships we spied when we reached Mars orbit, always hovering nearby, reminding us of their continuing presence. What do they wait for? Dolome?
The Caliph's men escort BC to a suite for his overnight stay. He'll sleep first, and then attend the signing ceremony tomorrow morning. BC will leave soon after it's over. Having come out as far as Mars, BC is using his trip as an excuse to continue on out to Ceres to see Anita. The next morning, the Caliph convenes most of the UIN's surviving population in a new domed auditorium for the signing ceremony. He has, understandably, abandon the terraforming of Mars in order to concentrate on reconstruction and rebuilding after the Eldred attacks and the raid by Dolome. BC finds himself walking through acres of freshly built housing and other facilities, through shiny new corridors, still sealed and sand-free, as he makes his way to the auditorium. Again, the Caliph has arranged for music and dance to accompany the signing. BC tolerates the ceremony. He can feel the lurking Eldred scout ships in the neighborhood, but the aliens do nothing more than make their presence felt. As he endures the signing ceremony, BC has his ship returned to orbit. The captain is under orders to call BC if the Eldred make any furtive moves. BC finds himself continually frustrated in his attempts to draw the Caliph to the side. The ceremony has them seated apart. They're only in speaking distance as they sign the treaty. Caliph, if I may, BC begins. The Caliph cuts him off.
It is a great day, is it not, BC? All of us united.
Is that sarcasm I'm hearing? I'm not sure the Caliph is really sure about all this.
We should talk.
Later, for now we put on our show, eh?
They sign the treaty and return to their seats until the ceremony ends.
Guess we'll speak at the reception after the ceremony.
BC can't seem to find the Caliph in the crowd at the reception. He spots him across the room several times, but never seems to find him there when he approaches. BC feels like the Caliph is avoiding him.
He knows I want to talk about the book.
BC wants to talk with the Caliph about any progress on the Book of Unity, as they've called it, but the Caliph seems to find ways of eluding any chance for BC to speak with him one-on-one. BC eventually gives up, frustrated that there is no time for those discussions amid the politics. BC's Stinger ship lands a few minutes after the reception begins. The pilot calls BC on the comm and lets him know they're ready to go whenever BC is. After a few more futile attempts to corner the Caliph in conversation about the book, BC finally gives up completely and heads back to his ship.
Hope Anita is in a friendlier and more welcoming mood than the Caliph was.
BC hops out to Ceres to see Anita. Unfortunately, he can't stay long. He has to head back to Earth orbit first thing tomorrow morning for a long-delayed but now scheduled meeting with the UTZ Council and Wentworth on Wentworth Station. BC has also been trying to set up a time to meet with Mbeke, but to no avail. Meeting after meeting. BC makes it out to Ceres and manages to stay the night with Anita, but the visit is too short. Anita's not happy as she sees him off. BC apologizes, tries to tell Anita he'll be back soon. His head is spinning from the constant motion. He barely has time to think as he travels back to Earth orbit.
Wish Dolomei or the Eldred would attack, so I wouldn't have to go to another meeting. Well, no, not really.
BC shifts in his seat on the Stinger ship, shuttling him in to Wentworth Station. Come, he calls out. Come on. Take a memo, BC says. Please ask Pope John Paul IV if he can meet with me soon. I'll be visiting Vatican City after the UTZ Council meetings are over, and would be honored if he would grant me the pleasure of his company. I want to talk to him about his negotiations with the Caliph. We can meet whenever it's convenient for him. I want to know what's happening on that book, BC says to the comm. Send that to Mbeke.
If I show up on his doorstep, maybe I can make Mbeke talk to me about the Unity book.
BC meets with Wentworth and the UTZ Council at Wentworth Station. It's sad to see how decimated the council ranks have become, although Wentworth does bear some good news. The UTZ scientists seem to have adapted the vaccine against the plague to counter the new strain. BC and the rest of the council take the vaccine at the meeting, and health officials are dispatched on the council's orders to inoculate everyone left on Earth, in orbit, on Mars, and on the project bases. BC floats a new idea he's been tossing around. He's discussed changing the UTZ currency to Alliance dollars, to remove the stigma UIN members and independent stations seem to have over using the UTZ currency. The idea is met with some resistance, and the meeting degenerates into a case of information overload as the surviving CEOs on the council spend their time telling BC why his ideas are wrong. The rest of the UTZ council meetings then become a blur of accounting sheets and facts and figures that BC tries to follow but fails. He tunes the council out and looks forward to his next stop, Vatican City.
That was Chapter 13 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Vatican Abdicator heading back to Vatican City as we come to the end of Chapter 13 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. We're going to join BC there in Chapter 14 on our next episode. BC and Domo and Flays, oh my. Reading this new, well, you know, over 10 years later from when I wrote it, I would have written out that visit with Anita, I think. You know, give the reader a treat. Jeez. I felt a little jip now as a reader reading that. I was like, hey. I plowed past that. I was like, really? So, I don't know. You look back on stuff you write, and you know every time you're going to see stuff you'd change. Still, we're flying by. Time is flying by, and we've got a Meteor Chapter 14 on the way next time around, as Vatican Abdicator continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. Now, of course, if you want to take it in like an audiobook for, you know, a more immersive experience, you can get this book on Audible, Kobo, pretty much many places where audiobooks are sold online. Just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and click Vatican Assassin under Books for more information. Or just search for Vatican Assassin or me, Mike Luoma, where you get your audiobooks. Quick recap on the news. Pages are coming in from Casey Bouchard and Christian Navarro. or the next Alibi Jones comic, Alibi Jones Christmas Present. So it's good to have that going on. And Alibi Jones and the Starseeds of Earth is rolling along too, getting up near 60K on the word count. And I mentioned that the graphic novel I've been writing for Green Mountain Support Services is hiring artists. They've just brought some artists on board to do the book, so very cool to have that in motion. And that is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatoria. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.